Yes, a very good morning all. It is Monday, April 8th, the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you wherever and however you were listening, and hope you had a fantastic weekend. And we're about 30 or 40 metres away from Lot 391 at the Inglis Easter Yearling Sale today, where Winx's filly by Piero Coolmore will go through the ring and is expected to smash all sorts of records. So much to talk about. We'll have a couple of special guests joining us here to tell us about the sales and what a day's racing we had in the end on Saturday. Who thought at about 6 o'clock on Saturday morning we would get through that card? Even got an upgrade pretty early in the day as well to a heavy nine. And day one of the championships, some great stories to come out of it. Lots to talk about in the NRL out of the weekend, of course, as well. Gather round in the AFL concluded in Adelaide yesterday in South Australia. And also, well, the Formula One Grand Prix in Japan yesterday. It is Masters Week as well, as we head towards Augusta National later, late Thursday night / early Friday morning, our time for round one of the Masters. And it is great to have Adam Pengilly and, of course, Loz with us this morning. Adam, morning to you, mate.
Morning, Mido. Morning, Loz. Morning, everyone. It's quite surreal, isn't it, to be sort of sitting only 30 or 40 metres away from this this Winx filly, and there's no one inside at the moment. It's only us. So we're waiting for the sun to rise. There's a security guard that's been watching her overnight or all night, early into the early hours of this morning. And when she walks into that ring a little bit later this afternoon, I reckon there'll be a big hush that will descend over that auditorium. And I don't know what price she's going to sell for, but it'll be many, many millions of dollars, I'm assuming.
Well, you've written about it in the Herald today. We'll touch on that. Loza, how was the weekend, mate?
Not too bad, thanks, boys. I went up to Newcastle on Friday and attended a function up there for the Mark Hughes Foundation. It was a tremendous day. They raised plenty of money, so well done to Emma and the team. Sad day. Didn't think the races would go ahead with the amount of rain that we received all round New South Wales, I reckon.
Crazy.
Especially on the coastline, because it was pouring in Newcastle, pouring the drive up and the drive back, and then to wake up Saturday morning with the news that we were going to race, and race on a surface that was really good. It was really good.
Got back to a heavy eight loss. I couldn't believe that.
Mate, I couldn't either, Adam. I just thought it was terrific. And then yesterday, I sat back and watched the Canberra Raiders destroy Parramatta. Parramatta now two losses without, Mitchell Moses. I mean, they missed him, haven't they? Of course. But I expected him to be a lot better than what they were yesterday. But well done to the Raiders. I thought that was a clinical display, their best display of the season, and will give them plenty of confidence, in particular coming off that loss to the Sharks where they're 18 points in front. You know, they led 18-0 early, and then they let that game go. But well done to Ricky and the team. They bounce back, and that's what you expect when you put in a poor performance the previous week.
I haven't seen his post-match media conference yet, but were some players allowed to be praised?
I don't know. I didn't see the post-match press conference, but I'm sure he would have been delighted with that performance. You know, a lot of people expected the Raiders to struggle without Jack Whiten this season. But when you look at their team, they've got some talent in their outside backs, and they've got a big experienced forward pack, so they're going to be tough to beat. I'm not saying they're winning the premiership, but I still think that they're good enough to play finals footy this year.
Matt Timoko, Loz, how good was he last night? He's just turning into one sensational player, and Canberra just extended his contract just last week for another year. Yeah. So, and when you think about it, how fickle are the fortunes of Middle and Rugby League when Jack Whiten left the Raiders, probably going to South, I think he's a chance of winning a premiership. Look where they are at the moment, and look how the Raiders are going. It's crazy when you think about it.
Unbelievable.
Well, things can turn pretty quickly, and I know we'll discuss it today, and a lot of people will be texting and ringing in about Jason DiVittorio's future at South Sydney. And I said to Adam before that we went on air, was it not a serious story, but are the dogs barking, or are we just assuming that this is the case? But we tend to think that the dogs are barking, South aren't happy with the way they're going, obviously. And there could be some change in the coming weeks.
I think the gravity of that loss on Saturday against the Warriors, I know you guys might not have seen much of it, obviously being at the races. I watched a fair bit of it. They were never in the hunt against the Warriors. And the one thing that really worried me was they just lacked physicality and a bit of effort, and it just seemed like they got a little bit disinterested once they got two or three converted tries down, and they were never coming back in that game. So, yeah, I don't know, Loz. He's I know people are saying he's got 80 minutes to save his career against Cronulla this Saturday night. I tend to believe it's probably right, because we've got the bye the week after that. if there's another heavy loss against the Sharks this week, well, what do the South board and management do?
You could extend it a few months ago.
Well, they're clever, Mido, because they cap the payout. That's how they do it these days, okay. Most clubs. And there's reports today in the Herald, my colleague Michael Shamus wrote, that his payout's only limited to 9 months of his of his salary, even though he's got another couple of years left on his contract through to the end of 2026. So, listen, I don't think South's owners, Russell Crowe, Mike Cannon-Brookes, James Packer will put up with another heavy loss. I wouldn't have thought. Like, they, Souths are a team that need to be making the finals every single year and challenging for the Premiership, and they're a million miles from that at the moment.
Yeah, well, I think they're a top eight team. Mm. A lot of our listeners at the start of the year weren't as bullish as what I thought they were. They thought there were still lingering effects of what happened last year when Sam Burgess walked out on the club. So his name's been linked to South Sydney. I'd find it remarkable if Sam was to be back there coaching if Jason did in fact lose his job.
There's a lot of bad blood there still lingering, Loz, from the circumstances about how that played out with Sam Burgess. So if he was to come back, there would have to be some pretty significant changes, I would have thought, at the top end of the club as well for that to happen. So, but as we know, Russell Crowe, he's the main man. He pulls the strings. He's still very tight with Sam, so we'll see how it plays out, but a huge week coming up for South at the moment.
Fair to say they will be heavily discussed all week, the Bunnies, no doubt about that. But credit to the Warriors, outstanding performance by them. Short Johnson scoring a double. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck back in rugby league. How good is he going? Wade Egan.
He's got an enormous middle, Wade Egan. I don't know what you think, Loz. I've always thought he was a pretty good player, but the last 4 or 5 weeks just watching him, I'm thinking, this guy's banging on the door for Origin selection.
I think he's more than banging on the door. I think he's right in the frame. Yeah. I think he's, if you're picking it now, I know that Abbey
is going well.
South are struggling. Mm. I think Wade Egan would be the man. I'd have no hesitation in throwing him in Origin. Mm. But like they're playing with a, he's playing in a good team.
Yeah,
he's playing in a team that is responding to what he does out of dummy half. He's got the skill set of all the good hookers. Mm. He's tough. I've got no doubt that it'll be him or Appy at this stage.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
I don't know whether anyone's got their nose in front, but I reckon definitely they're seeded one and two.
They're above Reece Robson and Cookie at the moment. You would think the way they're going, and he laid on this lovely play for Charles Nicol Klukstar on Saturday. You see that, Mido?
Yeah, I did.
He Tohu Harris was sort of shaping up to receive the ball one off the ruck, and Tohu Harris just made this little outside sort of run, and Nicol Klukstar came from around the back of the ruck, and his deception with his hands and his eyes, Wade Egan, was remarkable. It was a great pass, great play.
Yeah, and that's something they've done the last couple of years.
Yeah.
He sits on the other side of the ruck, and what you do, you don't see him as an A defender.
Mm.
So you see Charns on one side of the ruck, the A defender on the other side of the ruck sees Tohu Harris. So he comes out.
Yeah.
So he'll come off his line, he engages the marker, and he just gets to his outside shoulder, and Nicol Klokstad all of a sudden just presents at the last moment. The A defenders come up. Egan's engaged the dummy half, and it's just the short ball off his hip. And there's just space in behind. He does it as well as anyone.
Can they win the comp?
Yeah, they can.
The way they're going at the moment, Mido, you'd have to say they're a chance. I think I tipped them for BB minor premiers at the start of the year. I thought they'd have a really good year, and probably mainly because of the fact that they're not going to have any Origin representation. They're going to be largely unaffected by State of Origin. So, provided they can stay fit, they're a good team. They're a really good team. I like what they're doing at the moment.
Yeah, I think they can win a comp.
And they should be 5 from 5. Like, let's be honest. The game against Cronulla, the first game of the year, they completely dominated that game, didn't win it. They had Melbourne on toast with about 3 minutes to go and then lost that game with Xavier Coates. They should be the unbeaten 5 from 5, but anyway, they're going well.
They're on the fifth line of betting with Tab to win the premiership at $13, Penrith at $3.30, and we'll touch on what we saw at Brookie as Daly Cherry Evans, of course, went past the great Cliff Lyons to be the games record holder there at Manly yesterday as well. The Cowboys 35, the poor old Gold Coast Titans 22. There at Townsville. The Cowboys led 16-0 at halftime. They had to withstand a Titans second-half fight back. Kyle Felt eventually put the game away with an intercept, which was his 131st try, and that saw him pass Matt Bowen to become the club's all-time leading try scorer. It's going to be a long season there at the Titans. Credit to them. They got themselves back in that game when it could have got ugly there yesterday. But, and Kieran Foran, he looked like he's battling injury there as well. At one stage, looked like he might come back on. But, they're in some trouble, aren't they?
From what we've seen in the opening 5 weeks of the competition, they are. Dez has got a big job on his hands. It's going to take to a lot to improve them. Losing Tino was a massive blow. I was umming and ahhing about putting Titans in my top eight. Yeah. I didn't in the end.
You're thankful you didn't. Yeah.
I didn't because they are my favourites to get the wooden spoon.
Oh, they're $1.60 now.
I don't know.
$1.60. Wow.
I don't know how they get out of the bottom four.
No, bottom not with two. Not with Tino out for the year, Loz. No. Like, he's so important to that team. They're struggling big time in the halves. Like, Kieran Foran's body's got to hold up. He's already missed a couple of games this year. I just don't think Tanner Boyd's shown enough so far to suggest he's going to be their long-term number seven. I just think there's a lot of holes in that roster at the moment, the way they're playing. And I think Dez, to his credit, knew going up to the Gold Coast he was going to have a huge task on his hands. But it's probably even bigger than what even he thought, to be honest.
Yeah. Do you move Brimson into the halves? You've got to get him closer to the footy, don't you?
He played there yesterday when Foran went off the field, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think the halves are working. So you either, and Kieran might be out for a few weeks, who knows?
Yeah.
But, I think Foran and him would be the obvious options. I think Tanner Boyd, you're right, probably hasn't grabbed his opportunity. So you're looking to make some changes there, but you can't get pinning it all on the one bloke because there's a number of other players in that team that just aren't aiming up.
What does David Fifita do right now? He's got until round 10 to activate this clause for this contract extension. Hasn't done it yet. He's playing in a team that's winless through the first four games of the year, not going anywhere in a hurry. I don't know.
Well, he might consider it, and depending on where the other offers are coming from as well. And generally, the teams that have a lot of money to spend are the teams down the bottom as well.
True. That's true.
So that's the other thing you've got to look at. Do you go from one club that's struggling to another club that's struggling? And do you want to go through that process of starting all over again? Or do you want to ride it out with the Titans? You form relationships up there. Got a better understanding of Dez and what the coaching staff offer. That's what he'll have to consider.
I suppose the other question is that I've always argued the Titans have got so much money tied up in their forwards. Tino, Fifita, would they be happy to see him go and free up that money?
Possibly. Look, I don't know what the going rate is these days for back rowers and front rowers. I see numbers floated around for certain players and I just can't believe it. I'm just going, wow, that's the going rate these days.
Well, the salary cap is above $12 million these days, so we have to start adjusting our thinking for the going. You're right. We have to adjust our thinking for the going rate because it's going to be more than what we've been used to in the past. Yeah.
Masters week too, Adam, and unfortunately Cam Smith over at the LIV tournament in Miami. They're saying possibly he had food poisoning after he shot a 3-over-75 at his opening round, but he hasn't had a great preparation, has he, at all?
No, he hasn't, Mido. He played well in the Hong Kong tournament going back a few weeks ago. It was the first time he's sort of shown any semblance of form to start 2024. But I've been told, I chatted to a couple of his people yesterday, that he was struggling about 24 hours out from the tournament. He suffered a bad bout of food poisoning. He didn't play in the Pro-Am the day before the LIV Miami event and then played poorly on the first day, shot a 75, 3-over, and then decided still wasn't feeling great. It was best to probably pull up stumps. I think it was probably the wise decision with the Masters coming up this week, but he's going to have to find something pretty quickly to be in contention. I suppose the one thing he can lean on is the fact that every time he goes to Augusta, he plays well. Like, he's had three top five finishes at the Masters, which is incredible, really. I know he hasn't slipped on the green jacket yet, but he seems to always play well around Augusta. So, yeah, he's going to have to find something pretty quickly to be in contention this week.
Geez, short Scottie Scheffler, isn't he, to win it? $5 to win the Masters.
Incredibly short for a golf tournament. But having said that, Mido, we talk about how prestigious and how renowned the Masters is. The reality is it's the easiest major to win. Of course, the field's capped. It's only got about 80-odd players in it, usually. You're not playing against 155 other guys that you will at the Open or the PGA or the US Open. So, yeah, it probably is the easiest major you can try and get your hands on.
We'll talk plenty of Masters during the week and see Evan Priest. He tipped Ashkay Bhatia to us. I'm sure he did. about 50-1, I think, at the time with Tab 2 for this tournament, the Texas Open. And here he is, four shots clear on the back nine.
His tipping's been great, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been pretty good.
He's been sharp.
Very sharp. So Ash K. Bhatia, four-shot leader. 2-under through 10 holes through his final round there at the Texas Open. Best of the Aussies, Adam Scott tied for 12th. 5-under. Give Scotty a rough chance next week.
To be fair, out of all the Australians, he's been playing the most consistently and solidly in the last 6 months. I know he hasn't won for a very long time. And I think the last tournament he won was a couple of weeks before COVID hit, back in 2020. I think it might have been the Genesis, going back almost 4 years ago now, or over 4 years ago. He hasn't won for a very long time, but he's been playing very solidly the last 6 months. So hopefully he can bring some good memories back to Augusta. Minwoo Lee's been struggling, Middo. He had a pretty poor start to the year after a good Australian summer. So maybe our chances rest with Scotty again.
Well, I'm seeing in the market, Minwoo Lee's $34 and Adam Scott's 81. Out of the two, I'm absolutely having a penny on Adam Scott rather than Minwoo Lee at the moment. So anyway, we'll discuss it plenty this week heading towards tee off Thursday night / Friday morning. Rabbits in the headlights is the headline on the back page of the Sydney Morning Herald this morning, and the back page of the Daily Telegraph. Dimitri out, embattled Bunnies coach on brink of axe in the wake of their 34-4 defeat to the Warriors on Saturday. And the other big story to come out of that was, of course, Latrell Mitchell out for 3 weeks, suspended again for his forearm on Sean Johnson. He's now been suspended for 15 matches since he joined the club in 2020. They're out to $34 with Tab to win the comp. They've won 5 of their past 20. They are a club under enormous pressure. How does this all play out and end up, though?
Well, I think they have to win games if he's to keep his job. This is a big game coming up for them this weekend, and they're going to have to do it without Latrell Mitchell, who, in fact, I think was lucky that he only is receiving a couple of games.
What's he doing?
Oh, frustration, for sure. Just frustration, led with the elbow. If he breaks his jaw, he's gone for 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And I reckon Latrell sitting on the sideline for that amount of time as well. Look, they're going to win a game, you know. And as Adam pointed out earlier, they came in with high expectations, high-profile owners. I was reading somewhere, I think it's they've only won 5 of the last 20. So it started last year. It hasn't improved. They brought a couple of players to the club which we thought would give them a bit of toughness and a bit more of a competitive streak in Jack White and Sean Kepi. But things just haven't played out for them. So they've got the Sharks, who are coming off the bye this week. They'll have to improve out of sight from what they dished up the other day against the Warriors if they're to beat the Sharks. Now, the Sharks being okay, and they're a chance, South, but they're going to have to play their best game of the season. Mm.
How much authority do you think the captain, Cam Murray's got in that dressing room?
He looks a frustrated figure, doesn't he, Middo? You just watch him in those press conferences after games. He just looks like his body language almost looks like he's defeated. He's busting his bum. Everyone knows Cam Murray, Loz. You've coached him before. Like he's a fantastic player. I don't know if the message that either Jason Demetrio is getting through to the players. I don't know if Cam Murray's voice is being heard by the rest of the players, because something is just not right at that club at the moment. It's been festering since last year. It's definitely seeped into this season, and just silly acts from Latrell on the weekend. Even Jason Demetrio called him out, Middo, in the press conference, saying that was stupid acts. And I haven't heard Jason talk about Latrell like that, at least publicly, pretty much ever, really. So he's got to the point of frustration now. And Loz just made the point. Was it 15 games he's missed through suspension since he came to the club? He's been injured, obviously, for probably just as many games, if not more. He hasn't spent enough time on the field for the Rabbitohs. I still think, Loz, they're their biggest issues through the middle of the park, Sias.
Yeah, I actually thought they were stronger there this year than what they were the previous year. But they just aren't winning any collisions. The battle's in the middle. They're just getting outplayed. They look a bit slow.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't look a threat at all. They're not allowing time and space for the outside backs that they do have. Mm. So they're sort of playing off the back foot a little bit. Shuffling the deck chairs hasn't worked. But with Latrell there, Latrell missing, which we think he will, just take the early guilty plea, gives them a good opportunity to
eject
some young guys in there. Mm. But that's the problem, isn't it, if you're relying on some young guys to save your season. Like, you're putting all the pressure on them.
You know, one thing I'd like to see from Latrell is, like, we know how the yardage battle in your back five is so crucial. When he receives a ball off a kick, a long kick, just run the ball back into the defensive line as hard as you can, mate, and get your set started on the front foot. Instead of just dumping off to your winger, I know Alex Johnson didn't play on the weekend, but an Alex Johnson or an Isaac Thompson or a Tyne Milne, he's one of the biggest and strongest, most powerful athletes we've got in the game, but you don't see him starting the sets like they should. And he'll argue, oh, it's not my job, I'll chime in when I need to, but you want a statement. You want a statement collision. You want a statement run to get your team going. But I just didn't say that at all on Saturday.
And I saw Andrew Johns commenting on the Channel 9 footy show yesterday whether when he comes back, it needs to be back in the centres for the sake of the team. They're going to give young Jai Gray, I believe, is in line to make his debut for the club.
I think there's a couple of options that they've got to consider. One is, what is he going to do in this 3 weeks off? Mm. And you want to make sure that he comes back in good fitness condition. And then you've just got to see how the team performs, and you've got to see how the young fella Jai Grave, in fact, that's who they pick, see how he goes. A big ask for a young boy. Mm. Yes, he might have potential, but he's going to have some faults and issues in his game where, opposition teams will try and work out. So I think it just sees how it all plays out, but it'll be an option for Jason Demetriou. I don't think it's just a fait accompli that Latrell just walks straight back in as fullback now. I think it gives them a chance to reassess where they're at, give some people an opportunity, mix and match players in that team, possibility of moving Jack to six, Cody to seven. It might be something else they look at. Mm. But without Latrell, it certainly gives them the option of moving players around and seeing what the best fit is for the team.
You talk about wanting to ease a guy into first grade.
He's a
19-year-old playing fullback taking over from Latrell Mitchell with his team on the brink of their season imploding. Good luck.
And you've written a story. We'll get to it on the back page. Cloud hangs over tribute for Jennings milestone, a story you've co-written. We'll get into that after the 6 o'clock news, though. Naturally, our heroes and villains will try and get through as many texts and calls as possible, but we do have a lot of guests this morning as well. But 0419 767 272 on the text line and 1353 53, of course, on the open line. And just your Premier League results overnight, 2-2 at Old Trafford, Manchester United up against Liverpool, Sheffield United and Chelsea has also finished 2-2, and Tottenham are now up to fourth on goal difference after a 3-1 victory against Nottingham Forest this morning. But you saw more of the 2-2 draw than I did, Adam.
Not a good result for either of us, Mido. You probably need to win to cement top spot in the title race, and our chances of finishing anywhere near the Champions League are fading by the day.
Oh, long odds for that.
I know.